So I'm glad to be back. As I mentioned earlier, thrilled is probably a better word, excited, overjoyed. Before we kind of jump into the message this morning, I just want to say a couple of things that kind of just were brought to my attention as I was sitting there. I am absolutely thrilled to see a praise team that's out of breath after they've done leading us in worship. Amen? Man. You know that they're giving, they're the drink offering being poured out. When they're trying to catch their breath, they've just given so much. And to stop and listen to you sing is just a joy. And so keep on just pouring out to God. And He hears you, and I believe that, at least in my mind, I picture God's favor on us this morning, and He's got a smile on His face because you're singing about Him, you're singing about His Son, and you're singing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I just want to say thank you for that. I also, again, just briefly would like to say thank you for letting me be out last week. And, you know, I know I kind of caught some of you by surprise, but we were sitting and talking about, Pastor Liam and I were sitting and talking about the message series, and we just kind of looked at each other, and I said, you know what, we're going to be having this series talking about women, and we're dudes. I said, you know, it'd be kind of nice to get a woman's perspective on these hidden figure character studies. And so I went to Tanya and said, Tanya, would you consider speaking on my behalf on the Sunday? It allowed me to be gone, but I've heard her speak before. And I think she kind of looked at me like, are you sure? And I'm like, I'm sure. And so I listened to the podcast this week, and I got to tell you, Tanya knows how to bring the Word of God, and I'm just real grateful that she was willing to do that. Actually, her speaking last week also gave my wife an opportunity not to sit on the front row. She was doing first impressions and slipped in, and so I got a back row Baptist report from my wife last week. And so that was kind of cool to get her take on that. And so I know for some of us that stretches us, but I just want you to know I'm grateful that Tanya agreed to speak, and just I hope you were blessed by it as much as I was listening to the Word of God. And you know, the word kerygma is a Greek word for the word preach, and that word is not gender specific. It simply means a herald of the gospel of Christ. And I want you to know, everyone sitting out here, well, you may not agree to it, you may not accept it, you may not obey it, but every one of us are to preach the gospel in and out of season. And so we are all of those to be sharing of the gospel of Christ. So I'm glad she did a great job. She and you may be looking around saying, man, where's Tanya and Aleem? They are actually representing our church at the grand opening of another church. One of Pastor Aleem's mentors, Pastor Paul Mintz out of Community Lake Ridge, they opened their building and had their grand opening today. And Pastor Liam and Tanya are representing you and me and down there at that service. So they'll be back next week, but just wanted you to know they're not out thinking they were getting run out, okay? So I asked Tanya to speak. She spoke, and she did a great job. So, you know, I was thinking about this message. 2 years ago, next month, my life changed. I was laying in bed one night and next to my wife, and something occurred that I just couldn't quite describe. And I leaned over to her and I said, do you see that lightning? She said, it's not lightning. I said, no, it's lightning. And she said, no, it's not. And so I knew something was wrong, and it was only lightning in my right eye. And so I'm like, wait a minute, something's not right here. And of course, the next day I get up and I go. I'll never forget, the Thursdays are an interesting day for me. And so it was a Wednesday night. I get up Thursday and I go to the eye doctor because I'd had cataract surgery a couple of years ago. I go to the cataract doctor and he says, bad news. He says, you have a retina detachment. Your retina is detached. I said, what does that mean? He said, you have to have surgery. I said, what does that mean? He said, you need to go down here to the retina specialist. So I go down, and he said, yes, you have a detached retina. And I said, what does that mean? He said, you're having surgery on Monday. Now, he did tell me all of the good and the bad and the ugly, that the very real possibility is that I could possibly lose partial vision, or I could lose all vision if in my right eye if the surgery wasn't a success. So they did the surgery, and many of you walked with us through that. They did the surgery. I had to sleep sitting up for 45 days. I went back after the 45 days, and they said they could put a new lens in. I go back to the client evangelist. I go in, and he says, he comes back in, and he's just shaking. I'm shaking his head, and I'm like, it's a Thursday, okay? And I said, he said, we got a problem. I said, what is that? He said, we can't find the lens. The lens that we had installed is now inside your eyeball. I said, what does that mean? He said, you got to have surgery on Monday. So they had to go in and, like a grape, open up my eyeball, reach in, pull out the lens, sew it back up, another 30 days of having to rest and relaxation. And so we go back after that 30 days. I go back, and they are supposed to reattach the lens. They said, we've got a problem. I said, well, what do you mean you got a problem? He said, well, because of the first two surgeries, we have ruined the pocket, if you will. That's kind of a simple term of it, that the lens goes in, and we can't reattach a lens. I said, what does that mean? He says, you're having surgery on Monday. And I had to go to a specialist. So when I get a doctor's appointment, I'm trying to schedule those from now on Fridays, all right? But what I look back now, my life, I didn't know. As a preacher, and during that time, I was still trying to preach and trying to study with one eye. And, you know, we made a lot of pirate jokes and heard a lot of pirate jokes. But I learned during that time that God was doing a specific work in my life and helped me slow down a little bit and giving me a new perspective, a new insight, if you will, into a lot of different things, both physically and spiritually. But it was a major disruption in my life. Now, how many of you have ever gone down a specific path, but somewhere along the way, your pathway, your plans, your ideas, your dreams were suddenly disrupted? I mean, think about it for just a moment. You said, I do. You're planning to spend the next couple of years getting to know your spouse, but the honeymoon was amazing, and all of a sudden the doctor says, positive, you're going to be parents. Plans disrupted. Maybe you said, I do, and you expected to do for the rest of your life, and after several years, you come walking home, and like nothing, you don't really know a whole lot's wrong. Yeah, you've had your spats, all couples do, and you walk in, and there, your spouse hands you a certified letter, and there, you open it up, and there, divorce papers. Plans disrupted. Maybe you were going into work, and it's about that time of year where they're going to hand out bonuses, and your boss says, hey, I need to see you in my office for a second. And he says, man, the company is just changing, and we're going to go in this whole new direction, but without you. Plans disrupted. Maybe you go to the doctor and something's not quite right, and you kind of feel it's not quite right, but like we all do, we postpone, at least I do. But finally you go, and then you get that phone call, says, hey, we really can't talk about it on the phone, but we want you to come into the office. You walk in, and they give you the news that you were not wanting to hear. Plans disrupted. Plans. We have all these plans, or maybe you get a knock on the door in the middle of the night. It's 3 a.m. in the morning, and the doorbell's ringing, the dog's barking, and they just keep knocking, and you open up the door, and there is a police officer, and the police officer says, are you so-and-so and so-and-so? Are you the parents of so-and-so? We regret to inform you, ... Plans disrupted. I mean, we could go on and on. How many of you ever had your plans and your dreams disrupted? It's hard. We begin to ask ourselves these questions. At least I did when that major disruption happened. I'm like, why? Why is this happening to me? God, I need to study. I need to read. God, did I do something wrong? Why am I being punished? Anybody feel that way ever? Where are you in all of this? Plans are disrupted. Things aren't going like I anticipated. And over the last few weeks, we've been looking at this series of Hidden Figures. If you're joining us for the first time today, we've been looking at six women in the life of Jesus, five of which are shared in the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew chapter 1. And one who had we'll talk about and close up next week, one lady who had a major impact in the salvation story. And we'll see about that next week. But as we've been going through these, and if you haven't listened to them, go back and catch them on the podcast. You can go to our website and find them. I encourage you to read them, kind of get caught up. We've talked about Tamar and Rahab and Ruth and Bathsheba. And this week we're going to be talking about another character. But one of the things that we kind of have seen a common thread is that being a follower of Christ doesn't necessarily, in fact, most oftenly, doesn't exclude us from distraction, from disappointment, from disillusion or disruption. In fact, I would tell you that sometimes God, what I call the G-O-Ds, I think we have a slide up there, God uses these G-O-Ds, which are God orchestrated or ordained distractions or disruptions to get our attention, to draw us into a closer relationship with Him by increasing our dependence upon Him. And God, if God is omniscient and omnipresent and omnipotent, then God knows everything. God is powerful enough to allow or disallow anything. So God, as we've been talking in this series, God takes a lot of things that we don't necessarily see as blessings and turns them into those, so that we'll be closer to Him. And today we're going to look at the life of perhaps the most, not perhaps, the most famous woman in Christendom, and that is Mary, the mother of Jesus. And as we look at, see, we're going to see how one disruption, one God-ordained disruption, changed her life and the life of so many others forever. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to turn in them, or your Bible apps, to Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 56. Luke chapter 1, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 56. And then I'm going to ask, once you've gotten there, either in your Bible or Bible app, to let me know that you're there by standing up in honor of the reading of God's Word. We'll also have it on the screen behind us. Give you time to get there. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." She was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." May God add His understanding. May the Holy Spirit give us His teaching. And may God give us His courage and boldness to obey what we hear today. You may be seated. You all know the story. Normally the story is read, "Mary, did you know?" You know, we do this at Christmas. You know, Mary was young. She had her whole life ahead of her. Now, oftentimes, I don't know if you do this, but in previous times, I would read the Bible as once upon a time. I never would try to slip off my shoes and slip into the scenario. But I want you to imagine, you're young, you've got your whole life in front of you. In fact, she's so excited, she's already said yes to the dress. You know, she's betrothed, she's engaged. They got a 1-year waiting period, and man, you know that year before you get married, man, that stress starts then and starts building, but it's an exciting stress because you know at some point along the way, you're going to say, "I do." Plans are made, lots of plans. And she was excited about being married. We know that she was a very intelligent woman, young woman. We know that she was trained in the Jewish faith, and you'll see that when you read her famous praise back to God once the disruption settled in and she really understood it. Mary was not some person that had no knowledge of God. She was somebody that followed God. She was innocent. She was pure. She was naive, if you will, in the ways of the world. You know, she just was just a young person heading for the stars. Her whole life ahead of her. She was relational. When you read in and read these scriptures, you see that she had a good relationship with her family. She trusted her folks enough for her to be betrothed. She knew she had a good man. We know that Joseph was a good man. And so she had to have been excited about her future. And then all of a sudden, the disruption of disruptions of disruptions hit. Can you imagine? You got your whole plans. You've been innocent. You've been pure. And now this angel that was sent by God says, "Mary, you are about to be pregnant. you're going to be pregnant and you're going to give birth to the Savior of the world. And it's a very, I mean, I'm thinking that's got to be probably one of the most hard to believe explanations or messages for someone to hear, especially since she knew that she had not known Joseph in that way or anyone else. So here she is, she's pregnant, she's not by Joseph, it's this hard, I mean, how's she going to tell people? Well, God did this. Seriously? Can you imagine now all of a sudden that she was all excited about the wedding plans? And if you read in anything about Jewish tradition and history, man, weddings were a big deal. You know, that's where Jesus had his first miracle, right? I mean, weddings are still a big deal, amen? I mean, it was a big deal. And now, oh man, those plans are going to have to be put on hold because I can't show up in the dress anymore looking like this or how I'm going to look in a few months. What am I going to tell everybody when they look and start wagging their heads at me? And my reputation is now soiled and people are thinking of me what I know not to be true. Man, I hate this disruption. Why me? Why couldn't you pick somebody else? Relationships that she had were about to be tested. We see that the first relationship that was going to be tested was with her future husband. But not only that, in those days, to be an unwed mother was an embarrassment, both to the family, both to her, both to the husband. It was something you just didn't do. And so this disruption was not bringing what I would consider, or you would consider, a whole lot of blessing. Amen? So how should we respond in the face of these God-ordained disruptions? Well, it's a great question, and I'm glad you asked. First off, we need to understand, as we look at verses 28 and 30, that gods, the G-O-D-S, the gods, are ultimately designed to consecrate. Now, that word is a great church word, consecration. But the word really means that God brings these God-ordained disruptions into our life to bless us. Now, I got to tell you, disruptions in my life often do not feel like a blessing. Amen? But they were created. Look what he says in verse 28. Greetings, favored one. Can you favor someone else, God? If that's your favor, can you let that slide to someone else? I'll take what's behind door number two. But he says here, greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. Well, it sure doesn't feel like it. Ever had something, one of those examples or other examples, and a disruption, one of these things you can't explain and you don't understand why? It just doesn't feel like a blessing. But I want us to know that the GODs, those disruptions that God allows in our lives, ultimately are designed to bless us. Twice he says, look at verse 30. He says, don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Twice we see this word favor. Church, here's what I want you to know. You are highly favored of God. Amen. We don't live out in that reality. Most of the time, we look at God and say, why are you doing this to me? Instead of saying, God, thank you for blessing me, even in this disruption. But challenges, God challenges us, and they're designed to bless us. And the truth is that most of us struggle with feeling favored by God, and we don't view disruptions as blessings from above. Can we just be honest with one another? When tough times come, it's when we start blaming God instead of thanking God. And here we see in Mary's life, when we see her example, we see that's not the case. Can you imagine if she would have just tried to get out of that? Mary's name would have gone into obscurity. How many times do we miss God's full plan when we, instead of blessing God and thanking God in and out of season, we blame God for these disruptions? But we need to realize, and I want you to realize this, and I need to realize this, that God delights in you and me even though it sometimes doesn't feel like it. You see, blessings are not determined by feelings. They are determined by facts that God loves you and you are favored. That's a fact, Jack. And we need to start living like that, that you and I are highly favored by God. And the Scripture tells us, and he says, as many as believed him, to them he gave the right to be called the children of God. You and I are highly favored. God-ordained disruptions are designed to help you, not to harm you. I look back on that retina surgery, and I have to tell you, it did cause me to reevaluate things. It caused me to start thinking again about my life and what really is important and what's not important. The thought of only being able to see my beautiful wife out of one eye was not very pleasing to me. The thought of not being able to drive, maybe. The thought of maybe having to give up my calling as a pastor because I couldn't sustain it. It was very difficult during those days to study for more than 15, 20 minutes a time because of the strain. But I want to ask you a question this morning. How would your life change if you began to believe that you are favored by God and that God-ordained disruptions are really meant for to help you rather than to harm you, that they're a blessing more than they are a burden? How would your life begin to change? And I would ask you to start kind of mulling that over in your heart. You see, Mary, in this story, embraced the disruption, and God used Mary as a conduit by which the entire world would meet Jesus. And friends, here it is. This is good. I'm going to start doing it again today. They were telling me this week as we were talking about preaching practice, they said, I get excited, you know. Hey, check this out. God maybe brings disruptions into your life so he can use you as a conduit through the disruption so that others don't see you, but they see Jesus. Man, that's exciting stuff. That in the midst of a disruption, people say, how come you acting that way when all this stuff's going on in your life? Well, let me just tell you, there ain't but one word, Jesus. Why are you not struggling? I am struggling, but you seem strong. I'm strong because when I am weak, he is made strong. You see, when we're in those disruptions, God is doing that and molding us so we can be the conduit so other people in the future might see Jesus. But most of the time, think about it. Listen to our words when those disruptions come. Look at our actions when those disruptions come. And think about if how we act and how we talk, how we act like, walk like, talk like, and behave like Jesus. When we in those disruptions, do we really behave like Jesus? Or when people hear those things and see those things, they don't see Jesus. Man, Christians are master gripers. Oh me, right? By the way, you say amen when you agree with something. You say oh me is like, oh, I agree with it, but I don't like it, okay? Oh me. God was about to make Mary a conduit. But these G-O-D-S's, these God-ordained disruptions are ultimately designed to bless us. Secondly, as we look at verse 29, these G-O-D-S's are usually difficult, very difficult to comprehend. Look at verse number 29. But she, Mary, was very perplexed at this station or statement. Duh! Can I say that? You probably don't want to write that in your notes, but it is D-U-H exclamation point. This is perplexing. Why? What? Are you sure? Why me? It says that, and she kept pondering, well, what kind of salutation is this? What kind of greeting is this? And I'm not careful, we'll skip over this real quick until I start going back and looking the disruptions that he's placed in my life. And I've been very confused, very perplexed, wondering, okay, what kind of blessing is this, God? Seriously, come on now. I can think of a dozen different ways to bless than that. They're difficult to comprehend. I want to tell you what one of my mentors shared with me, and it's going to be on the screen so you can write it down. It's a quote. He says, Jay, because it was one of those times in my life I went to him, I was very confused part of my life. He said, Jay, if we can figure it out, then God's probably not in it. And yet that's what the energy and the effort that we try to figure it out. And the reason we normally try to figure it out is so that we can get out of it instead of go through it with Jesus. Gods are usually difficult to comprehend. Look at verse 34. Mary said to the angel, wait, how can this be? Since I am a virgin. Now, I was reading that, and I was thinking, okay, what can I grasp from this? And this is what God gave me, and I hope he gives it to you. I want you to remember it's okay to discuss your concerns with God. I think you need to have that spiritual conversation. I think it's okay to ask questions. I mean, read the Psalms. David was, man, there was anger, there was questions, there was accusation, there was humility, there were, you know, this back and forth. If you really just look at the Psalms sometimes, David almost looked like a spiritual schizophrenic, right? But what I love about the Psalms is that David was just having conversation, trying to figure this out, and so was Mary. How can this be? And it's okay to have that conversation. There's nothing wrong with asking questions, but here's the deal. We need to start asking God what He's doing and quit asking Oprah and others what they think we ought to do. I got news for you. Oprah, Dr. Phil, you name it, whoever it is you watch, or Judge Judy, I'm dating myself here a little bit, but whoever it is you think you get your advice from, don't you think God knows better than they do? We need to start asking God what He's doing, because when we ask God what He's doing, here's what I see in the Scripture. He answers. In this story, she asks the angel, basically, what's God doing here? And the angel answers her and says He's going to use you to introduce the Savior to the world. God's not afraid to answer your questions. And there's not a question you can ask Him that He doesn't know already. It's okay to ask those questions. It's okay to say, how can this happen to me? Why is this happening to me? But let's ask God. And then when you look at verse 37, the reason that we can ask God, the reason it's okay, because we're in the midst of this God-ordained disruption and we're thinking, there is no way. Can you imagine, Mary? There is no way I can be pregnant. There's no way. Put your situation. There's no way I can ever do this again. There's no way I would ever be able to do that. And then we see the answer. It says, for nothing will be impossible with God. You see, they may be difficult for us to comprehend, but there is nothing too big or too difficult for God to accomplish through someone who's talking to Him and in relationship with Him. Because I want you to know something that I didn't include in my notes here. God looked down, it says, where she was at. He knew her by name. Remember, we talked about a little in the very first message we had. He knew who she was, where she was at, what she was doing, and He chose and selected her to reveal Christ to others. God knows you by name. He knows where you're at. He knows what you're doing. And He says, I want you to be my conduit. Sometimes He has to use those disruptions to get our attention. Some of you are not like me, but for me, there are many times in my life as I go back that I always say God had to take a spiritual two before upside my head to get my attention. To realize, oh, right, that's right, God, I'm not. God, You are. God, Your ways are higher than mine. I only see in part, God, You see the full picture. Nothing is impossible with God. And when Mary questioned the angel, she got her answer. Here's the point in this. If you recognize that you're favored, you recognize that God is God, He has a right to do whatever He wants, and He's got a plan. It's okay to have discussion with Him, but we have to be able to say, God, I trust You. We have to be able to say, God, it's impossible for me, but there's nothing impossible for You. I don't understand it, but I trust You. There's an old song that used to be saying that said something about when we can't see His hand in something, we trust His heart in that something. You got to know that God is both to will and do of His good pleasure, that God wants to bless you, not to harm you. God wants to bring His gift of life and direction and wholeness into your life, not to curse you. And I would just encourage you, no matter what you're going through right now, to begin to see it from that perspective. And lastly, Mary did that. Mary did that, and she had to get around this thing. Man, is that blessing or what? It's so difficult for me to understand. But I want you to know that she made the right choice. And GODs, these God-ordained disruptions, they demand universally a choice. Everybody has to choose. I can't choose for you, you can't choose for me. universally, everybody has to choose how you're going to respond when one of these God-ordained disruptions hits your life. Mary made the right choice. Look at verse 38. Oh, man, to be able to get to this point in our spiritual lives. And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed her. Job. You know the story of Job. His family got wiped out. His property got taken from him. All his cars, all his toys. No more Game Boy, no more television. It all got wiped out in a tornado, Everything. Family got killed. Wife's griping at him, says it's his fault. Friends come along, try to give him advice. And in the midst of that disruption, would you agree that's a disruption? He says, "Though he slay me, I will put my trust in him." Man, that's a verse. And Mary says, "May it be done according to your word." And so what, for me, as we kind of wind this down for today and look forward to next week, which I hope you won't miss. I hope you bring somebody back as we culminate this series. You and I need to learn to hear the Word of God. And to hear the Word of God, we must know the Word of God. We need to listen to the Word of God. But it's more than just hearing the Word of God. We must believe the Word of God. There used to be a bumper sticker. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Anybody ever see that bumper sticker? It dates me a little bit, but we and everybody knows me now knows I'll never put a bumper sticker on my bumper ever. And so, because you can't clean that thing. But God said it, I believe it, that settles it. That is terrible theology. God said it, that settles it. You have a choice of whether you believe it or not. But it doesn't settle it just because you believe it. It's true or not. You are highly favored. God uses these ordained disruptions in our life, tries to get our attention. God wants to use you. God wants to bless you. God wants to get you on the right path. He's not trying to hurt you, harm you, or cause you to go down a wrong path. God said it, that settles it. We need to hear the Word of God, we need to believe the Word of God, and then we need to obey the Word of God. There is, we sit in these services. I did it for years as well, I still do it. We hear the Word of God, God convicts us, and we say yes, amen, which means I agree. But then when we go out, our lives say, oh me. We don't act upon what God is doing in our lives. I would dare say that in the coming weeks, many of us will face God-ordained disruptions. My challenge to you in this is to be like Mary. Talk to Him. Discuss it with Him. Fall on your knees and communicate with Him. The reason all the time we don't get our answers is because we don't spend much time in prayer. We don't talk to God. We blame Him or we ask others, but we believe the Word of God and we begin to obey the Word of God. And we were talking about we had a meeting yesterday, kind of a focus group meeting, and we talked about relationship. How do you build a relationship if you don't have trust? And that you cannot build trust unless you spend time together. Common experience. If we don't spend time with God, the reason that we don't trust God is the reality is we don't spend time with God. And Mary was someone who heard the Word of God and she chose. And I encourage you this week to read the rest of that as she, her praise was incredible. The magnificent, or magnificant is what they call it, how she began to praise God. Oh, that Jay McFadden, put your name in there, would be like Mary. Lord, what your word says, whatever it is you're doing, I trust you. I don't even trust myself, but I trust you. Mary trusted God, and she made a choice for God, even when she couldn't comprehend, even when she didn't feel like she was favored. So as we close this morning, I just share a couple thoughts with you. When your life gets disrupted, and it'll happen, Some of you probably had a pretty major disruption this week. A disappointment, a disillusionment. Did you thank God for it? Did you ask Him what He's doing? Or did you blame Him? When that life gets disrupted, when your life gets disrupted, don't look at it as the end of the world. Look at it as the beginning of something great. Wow, can you imagine how that would transform us? Okay, God, you're doing something. I don't necessarily like it. I don't necessarily understand it, but I trust you, and you're doing something great in my life, and embrace it. Look at it as something that God has orchestrated. Because here's the real truth, real fact, real reality. If God didn't want something to happen, if God didn't want to allow something to happen, it could not happen. And so you got to look at these things as God is orchestrating something. So as we close, take this truth with you this week as we close. God-ordained disruption is an opportunity, just like it was for Mary, a visitation, a manifestation, and an activation of God's power in your life. Those times of disruption, look for Him. Say, God, you're moving in my life. And those disruptions begin to activate our lives. Mary, an insignificant in many ways, a no-name before God began to disrupt her life, became the conduit for the rest of us to see Jesus Christ. My prayer is that would be you. Not that you'd get pregnant, okay? But that your life would give birth to a Jesus Christ that could not be hidden from the world, that everybody knows that not only is He in you, but you are in Him. And they give glory and praise and honor to Jesus Christ. Let's pray. If you would, just bow your head and close your eyes. And this is the time we call our response time. The response time is where I release responsibility of the Word back to you. Where I have fulfilled my responsibility to God to preach the Word as He's laid upon my heart. Now it is your responsibility to carry, to struggle with, to grapple with, to obey or not to obey, to choose. This is our response time. And I realize I don't want to make light of rough situations. I'll expound on my story of the retina next week. I don't want to make light of that at all if you're going through a difficult time. But I want you to hear me when I say this. Hear God speak to your heart. When Jesus says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Behold, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the world. There's no place that you can go, no mountain you can climb, no cave you can hide in, no pit that you can fall in, that Jesus doesn't know where you're at. He knows exactly who you are. He knows exactly where you are. And He's inviting you to be a part of what He's doing. Father, it is in Jesus' name and the power of your Holy Spirit that this morning we, a church, a people, called by God, being equipped by God, being prepared by God for the plan of God, bow before you. And God, this morning our corporate confession is that you are God and we are not. God, I thank you this morning for those orchestrated and ordained disruptions. And I pray, Father, that even more and more and more as we grow in our faith, that we would see those as opportunities for you to manifest yourself in our lives, to activate your power in our lives. Pray for that person this morning that's going through a tough time, even today. I pray that today, Holy Spirit, would you just encourage them in a way that only you can? Would you remind them? Would you teach them? Would you comfort them? Lord, even if there's an admonishment needed, would you do that this morning for the glory and honor of the name of Jesus Christ and God the Father? And Father, would you now give us the ability and the courage to act upon what we've heard and begin to live out as Mary did, that we would move from the shadows of being hidden figures to being those that later on would say, imitate me as I imitate Christ. That would move out and no longer be hidden, but we would be shown. That we would be those Matthew 5 believers that says, so let your light shine before men and others, that they would see what you're doing. They would see your good works. And as a result of that, God, they would bring glory and honor and praise to God the Father. And I pray, Father, whatever you need to do right now, Holy Spirit, whatever you need to do right now in this place, would you do it? Just a moment, I'm going to say amen. And when I say amen, it is your invitation to respond. That response, maybe you might want to just spend some time coming forward and praying here at the altar. There's something about stepping forward. It just kind of gives you that sense of stepping up because Jesus stepped up for you. You may want to go and grab somebody by the shoulders and say, man, I'm so sorry, I've got a broken relationship with you, or I'm going to pray for you, or I've just confessed to him, God, I've been looking at all this wrong. I've been thinking about you just been pounding me. You've been piling it on. God, I just want to say this morning, thank you, and whatever happens, I'm going to trust you. My prayer is that you'd respond how God wants you to respond. God, we love you. Have your way.